Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 165 for the August 2021 solicitations. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. These episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to help promote the comics you love, and do it as often as you can. If it's only one a month, that's fine. If you want to send in a dozen, that's cool too. But send in some clips and support the comics you enjoy. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Now, as always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Where we get to where DC would fit into the premier publishers, we'll dive over to DC Connect. When we hit where Marvel is listed in previews, we'll go dive over to Marvel Previews. And obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and the highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 26, and it is the previews catalog itself. Now, it comes with Marvel Previews, and I'm going to kind of grandfather in the DC Connect as well. Basically, between these three catalogs, you can find out what's coming out in the next couple of months and determine where you want to spend your time, interest, and money. I find these things really handy. It's great to find out about a couple of new things. There's one or two things I found out about this time I didn't know were coming out. It's like, I should get that. So whether you get the actual catalogs themselves or just get the information online, the unfortunate reality of the comic book market, it is pre-order based. Whether we want it to be that way or not, that's how it is. So it makes sense to take a look at those solicitations, find out what you want, let your retailer know, that way they can get it for you. I think pre-ordering is even more important these days than it used to be. It's a rough market right now for the comic industry. It's getting harder, I think, on the retailers. Their discounts are getting reduced across the board from the different distributors and such. So anything you can do to help your retailer know what you want and what you're going to get so they can order appropriately, not get too much, not get too little, the better off you and your retailer are. So, once again, that's the Previews Catalog on page 26 of the Previews Catalog.
Hi, this is Nick with a pick from the main Previews Catalog. This is from page 44 in the Image Comics section. It's Gunslinger Spawn number 1, which happens to be one of their gems of the month. And, of course, written by Todd McFarlane and Alish Kott. Artists on this issue are listed as Brett Booth, Philip Tan, and Kevin Keane, and they need the extra talent there because this is going to be a double-sized issue for number one, and unfortunately it also means that it's going to be double-priced. Typically a lot of the Spawn issues are sold at $2.99, but with this being a double-sized one, this is going to be $5.99 out October 6th, and basically if you've been reading along with Spawn in the last year or so, you know that he's been building up to this whole Spawn shared universe that came out of Spawn Universe, the book. And this is the second of those titles spinning out from it. It says, this book contains three separate Gunslinger stories, each taking a look at his journey through time, from the wild, wild west to the 21st century. Will his 200-year-old past come back to haunt him as he navigates the strange world of 2021? Get ready for the past and present to collide in this new ongoing title. I'd expect, again, future installations of this book to be at $2.99 for your standard comic.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm in the Image section, and I'm on page 50. I went past some of the first solicits they had in Image. Not some of them really didn't appeal to me. But the thing on page 50 is the Magic Order Volume 2. Now, the reason why I'm calling this out, by the way, this is by Mark Millar, I don't know how you say his name. Mark Millar is how it's spelled. And the artist is Stuart Immonen. This was a fantastic series. I read the first one, loved it. There was a battle, a war, basically, between different followers of the Magic Order and people who oppose the Order. This is a 6-issue limited series or mini series. Everything that Millar does is like that. He does 6 issues, volume 1, 6 issues, volume 2 with Jupiter's Legacy. He did that with Kick Behind. He did that with the Magic Order. He's doing that. So he tends to stick to 5 or 6 issues, and then he moves on and waits and does the next volume. This volume's coming out October 27th, and, you know, my money's on this is the time when the Magic Order will be coming out on Netflix, which they're going to be making it into a Netflix series. So I'm really looking forward to that because, like I said, it is a fun series. It is good to read. Magic is not my top thing. You know, if Doctor Strange or whatever, Zatanna is like the feature, it tends to be something that's not really in my wheelhouse unless it's done really, really well. But the Magic Order, it was done really, really well. So I loved it. So I'm going to read you the solicit here's for the Magic Order Volume 2, Number 1. And by the way, they are offering the Magic Order Volume 1 trade paperback at the bottom, so you can pick that up and get caught up as these issues are coming out. It says, a magical turf war like you've never seen before. The London chapter of the Magic Order has entered the scene, and these tough guy, Richie-style gangsters have a problem with the Eastern European warlocks moving into their territory. Can new leader Cordelia Moonstone help keep the peace? So it's coming out around Halloween. It's going to be fun. It's October 27th. It's coming out. I think it's going to probably be a hit on Netflix, more so than Jupiter's Legacy, because I don't think they'll have to spend the money on special effects, even though there's going to be special effects in it, to the level that they did Jupiter's Legacy and basically make it an unprofitable venture. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I would highly recommend it. If you're going to read this Volume 2, I would definitely pick up Volume 1 and trade paperback and read it there and get caught up. On to my next pick.
We have A Righteous Thirst for Vengeance.
Now, another Remender.
I am pretty excited about this one because, hey, it's a new Rick Remender. I don't know that I know Andre Araujo and Chris O'Hallahan. I don't know their artwork, I don't think, but I might. But this is coming, it's a new crime series, crime and mystery thriller. Deadly Class is probably winding down. You know, some of his other stuff is winding down. So it's cool to get a new Rick Remender. This one is about an unassuming man who stumbles upon a dark web contract assassin's vicious plot to kill an innocent target. He turns himself into one. The professional meets Road to Perdition in this story of a family's unlikely guardian being hunted by rich and powerful men who are used to getting away with everything. I like crime books. Kyle, does this do anything for you?
Could be. I mean, of the crime books, Remender does a great job on them. So, yeah.
I'm looking at this.
This might be something I'll dip in. I'm trying to figure out how. So, it's just the number one. There's no of six or anything currently labeled.
No, it's a series premiere, so. Right, it's an ongoing until it isn't, that kind of thing. Andre Araujo, that art down there, I really like it. I really dig it. It kind of reminds me of Tyler Boss a little bit. It's just got a really crisp look to it that resonates with me. But a new Remender, I'm definitely in. I'm super psyched. It comes out October 13th. It's $3.99, 32 pages from Image. On page, what page is this? Page 54. So that's really, really sweet. Check that out.
My next pick is one I didn't know about until I stumbled across it in previews. And being a process junkie, I just think this is fascinating. On page 58 is the Essential Guide to Comic Book Lettering soft cover. And I have no real artistic ability, but lettering is something, you know, I naively think I could possibly do, because it's all computer-based and you know, not like I need any serious artistic skill. Not to say that lettering isn't a skill, it absolutely is, and this book goes through what you need to know to do it. And they've actually got a couple of pages of it on page 58, where it's talking about, you know, the word balloons, how those work. They also get into sound effects and different ways you could place them and all of that kind of stuff. Again, I find it just fascinating, 'cause lettering is something that if it's done poorly, you really notice, but if it's done well, is absolutely invisible and really just pulls you into the story that much deeper. There's a definite skill set there, and I'm looking forward to checking this book out and understanding that and appreciating it a lot more. So once again, that's The Essential Guide to Comic Book Lettering Softcover on page 58 of the Previews catalog.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the image section, and this is a trade paperback that I'm going to be picking up. It's on page 60, and it's called Fine Print, Volume 1. It's an OGN. It has not come out in single issues. It's just going straight to trade. Top Cow's been doing this a lot with their stuff. They're not going to issues. They're just releasing trade paperbacks. Smart move for them? Maybe. This is 176 pages, $17. The writer artist is Stephen Sage. And I'm going to read you this listing because this is brand new. If you have not seen Stephen Sage's art, where have you been? They give you 4 sample pages here. It looks fantastic. I've been following the creative stuff online. Been awesome, so I've been looking forward to it. But it says, how do you deal with a broken heart? Junk food? Excessive drinking? Dubious contracts with ancient gods? All right, for Lauren Thomas, the queen of bad decisions, the answer is always the worst possible choice. So when she finds herself with the rare opportunity to have her broken heart patched by the highest rated god of desire, what could possibly go wrong? Kind of funny, I'm looking at the cover. A tale of gods, mortals, love, lust, death, and bad decisions. It all starts with a simple bite of a golden apple. This looks like it's going to be fantastic. It looks like it's going to be a very mature title. Yes, it is rated mature. The genre they have listed here is drama, fantasy, romance. I'm on board for this. I think it's going to be terrific. And like I said, I love the art. So check this one out and on to my next pick.
What's up, guys? Patrick here. This is my first pick in the Marvel previews, in the previews book, Invincible 1, 2, and 3 compendiums on page 73. $64.99, or get your discounts where you can and get them a lot less than that. So they have compendium 1, compendium 2, compendium 3. I don't know much about Invincible besides, you know, the TV show was amazing. So it goes up to 144. I don't know if that completes everything, but I'm definitely getting all three of these. I love the show. Hope that this book is just as good as the show. I hear it's even better. And I heard they only scratched the surface with that show. So pick up Invincible Compendium 1, 2, and 3. Check it out. Read it. The art's amazing. Ryan Ottley's a good artist. Everyone knows Robert Kirkman. So Invincible 1, 2, and 3 compendiums on page 73. On to the next one.
I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick in this month's previews comes on page 81 in the Image Comics section with Hey Kids Comics Volume 2, Profits and Loss Number 6, and it's the final issue of a 6-issue miniseries. The writer, cover, and story artist is Howard Chaykin. For decades, every new generation has just been younger players taking over dead men's jobs. But now a new breed genuinely innovates and renders the old guys useless while they're still walking. Scheduled to be in shops on October 6th for the cover price of $3.99. I received the second issue of this miniseries in my last shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, and while I haven't had a chance to read it yet, I enjoyed the first issue of this second volume as Howard Chaykin continues his fictionalized history of the comic book industry, and in a recent interview on Word Balloon podcast hosted by John Centris, he said he has at least one more volume of this series planned. So if you enjoy comic book history, you might want to pick up these 2 volumes and try to figure out who some of the past comic book creators he's referring to in these issues. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also on page 103 of the Dark Horse section with Unbelievable Unteens, World of Black Hammer, number 3 of 4. The writer is Jeff Lemire. The cover A and story artist is Tyler Crook, and that's the one I'll be getting. and cover B is drawn by Ray Fox. Unbelievable Unteens comic book artist Jane Ito finds her world flipped upside down after discovering that the heroes from her comics were real and she was one of them. As she and the team of underdog heroes begins to reassemble, they find out why their memories were wiped, who was behind this evil plot, and what happened to the powerful foe, the demonic White Wraith, an exciting reimagination of the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer series, in shops October 13th for $3.99. One of the things I enjoy about the Black Hammer universe is the way writer and co-creator Jeff Lemire and all of his artists come up with new and original ways to play with the superhero genre. Billy Hogan again. My next pick this time is in the Dark Horse Comics section on page 103 with Black Hammer Reborn, number 5 of a 12-issue miniseries. The writer is Jeff Lemire. The story artists are Malachi Ward and Matt Sheehan. Cover A artist is Caitlin Yarsky, and that's the cover I'll be getting. Cover B is drawn by Malachi Ward and Matt Sheehan. A multidimensional nightmare unfolds and wreaks chaos on Spiral City as the powerful superhero known as the Black Hammer joins forces with the brutal vigilante known as the Skull Digger to put an end to this madness. Featuring a special one-page Inspector Insector backup story by Rich Tomaso. In shops, October 27th for the cover price of $3.99. I've received the first issue of this miniseries in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, but I haven't had a chance to read it just yet. But I love the character in the previous Black Hammer stories, and seeing her team up with Skull Digger makes me more interested in reading this particular issue.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog, this time page 106 in the Dark Horse comics section. And this is the Madman Library Edition Volume 2 hardcover. And basically this is just the next in the line of 6 volumes that they anticipate for the Madman Library collections. And if you're familiar with any of the library editions from Dark Horse, you'll know that these are large format books. It says this one is 8 by 12 inches in diameter, and I just got my copy of the first volume somewhere in the last month, and it's definitely a beautiful book. Just large format, some of the great Michael Allred art, the Madman character is such a fun character. I've read what would have been the first trade paperback collection for this series some time ago, and some scattered issues that have come along, you know, after that, but this is my attempt to go and read all of the issues in their intended order, or reading order, the way the author would like. Of course, all writing and art is pretty much handled by Michael Allred for the main series, but he does have some sprinkling in crossovers and probably some of his other spin-off series mixed in throughout these various volumes, including in this one, the Superman-Madman crossover, and the Powers Madman one-shot special, which was written by Brian Michael Bendis and drawn by Michael Avon Oeming. So this is going to be 680 pages for $99.99 out in stores on December 29th. So unfortunately, you can't get this for yourself for Christmas, but maybe with some of that Christmas cash, or if you're like, you're going to pre-order this from previews and save a little money in the meantime.
My next pick is on page 108, and it is the Orville number 1 Artifacts Part 1 of 2. Now, this is a mini-series. It's going to go for either 2 or 4 issues. Sometimes they just do, you know, one story of 2 parts. Other times they do 2 stories, and they have a different subtitle for the second part. I really kind of hate the way they name these things, but that's about the only nitpick I've got on these things. I'm really enjoying these Orville stories they're telling. They're, again, 2-part stories, they read like an episode. They look like a drawn version of the episodes. The likenesses are great. They capture the voice of the characters. They capture the sensibility of the show. So I absolutely recommend these things. It's just a ton of fun. It's 32 pages, $3.99. And if you're a fan of the show, you definitely, I think, should be checking these out. If you're not a fan of the show, I think it's worth going to Hulu and watching it if you're into Star Trek or those kinds of shows. Now, the first season was a little hit or miss on the humor, but by the second season, they really, I think, found their footing, found their voice, and kept the humorous aspects, but also really kept the social commentary of Trek and things of that sort, and really kind of made it their own. So I think they're doing some great work over there. Seth MacFarlane has really created an interesting universe and is filling a void that, frankly, Star Trek isn't filling these days and should be. Maybe they will with Strange New Worlds. Don't know. Anyways, so if this is something you think you might like, check out The Orville No. 1 Artifacts Part 1 of 2 on page 108.
What's up, guys? I'm picking another book out of the previews. This time on page 112, Dark Horse Comics. Normally, I don't pick Dark Horse Comics because it's mostly video games and TV show books. The Orville's in there. It's one of the books I always get. But I wanted to point out Last Flight Out. It's number 2 of 6. I know number 1, we missed it. It was last month. But Mark Guggenheim is the writer, and he's also on television. He's done a lot of stuff, video games. You've probably seen or witnessed some of his work. I don't remember what it was, but if you look up Simple Men's Comics podcast, he was just on there talking about this, and it sounded amazing. So I'll read the subscription. It's on sale October 6th, 32 pages, $3.99, miniseries, of course, 2 out of 6. Eduardo Forgato is the artist and the cover artist, and Marcelo Costa is the colorist. With less than 24 hours to go until the complete evacuation of Earth, scientist Ben Kaywood has to find his daughter in the lawless wasteland that is Chicago, Illinois. It's pretty much what it is now. But things aren't exactly what they seem. Ben isn't prepared for this issue. Shocking final page twist. All right, on to the next pick.
This is Nick with a pick from the DC Connect catalog. This from page 9. It's Task Force Z, number 1. I don't see anything specifically mentioning this as a mini-series, but based on the premise, again, I can't imagine that this will be a huge ongoing series, but maybe we'll get some good dozen or so issues out of it. Story is by Matthew Rosenberg, pencils by Eddie Barrows, inks by Eber Ferreira, and a cover by Eddie Barrows. $3.99, standard comic book on sale in October, and I'm really not following anything that's going on now when it comes to the main Batman stories or anything, and I think this spills out of some of what's gone on there, and whatever happened in Infinite Horizons or Infinite Destinies or whatever we're doing right now, Infinite Frontier, there we go. But this really seems like a fun concept, and with the combination of penciler Eddie Barrows and inker Eber Ferreira, I have to pick this up. They're an art team that is on my must-buy list anytime they come up at DC. They just do some of the best work in modern comics. So here's the solicitation text. It says, "In life, they've terrorized the people of Gotham. Now they are Gotham's last hope. Task Force X saw villains working their way to freedom. Task Force Z will see dead villains working for a new chance at life. On A-Day, the attack on Arkham Asylum left hundreds of Gotham's most cunning and deranged criminals dead. Now, a mysterious benefactor has activated the government's task force clause to bring them back as the ultimate army of the night. To lead this team of the undead, only a person who knows exactly what it feels like to be brutally murdered and brought back to life can handle the job. Enter, you guessed it, Red Hood. But when Jason Todd unravels the mystery surrounding Task Force Z's creation, will he try to destroy it or embrace it? Bane, Man-Bat, the Arkham Knight, Sundowner, Mr. Bloom, Red Hood, they are Task Force Z. And this was just the beginning." So, again, the art team, the concept, especially this group of villains on there, I think it's going to be great. Hopefully it just tells its own nice story and it doesn't get too bogged down in anything else going on. But if you like the Suicide Squad concept, if you like anything related to Batman universe, I think you're going to love this. I'm kind of excited to see that Mr. Bloom is making a return after the final arc of Scott Snyder's take on Batman, and just some of these other characters. Man-Bat's one of my favorite Batman villains, so I'm looking forward to it. I think you should check it out, and it's a normal price, normal size comic. Check it out.
Hello again, my name is Chris Brawley. I'm regularly referred to as the Brawlinator on the Slack channel and the forums. It's good to be back on Comic Book Pages monthly previews episode. And my first pick this month is found on page 13 of the DC Connect solicits. It's Batman, the Long Halloween Special, number one. It's a one-shot. You thought you knew the whole story of Batman, the Long Halloween, but now the legendary creators Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale return to Gotham City to reveal that no secret remains buried forever. It's the return of DC's Halloween specials with a mystery that could destroy Batman, Commissioner Gordon, Two-Face, and, well, you know, what are we going to spoil everything? This has been 25 years, a quarter century, that's passed since the release of the Eisner Award-winning Batman The Long Halloween from the same creative team. This comes out October 12th, and Comic Book Pages' own unofficial book club actually read this last fall. The original series was fantastic. This, of course, is just a one-shot, and it's hopefully more than just a cash grab. Pull the trigger if you like. I'm going to. It's on page 13 of the DC Connect Solicit magazine. It is Batman, the Long Halloween Special, number one.
Hey, this is James, and I'm here with my first pick in the DC Supplemental, and I'm over on page 16. And the thing that I'm looking at it is DC versus Vampires, number one, story by James Tynion IV and Matt Rosenberg. So Matt Rosenberg's got a new number one. I think it was Task Force Z as well. So he's writing at DC now. And the pencils and inks by Otto Schmidt. Now, this one's going to be, pretty sure, out of continuity. I'm almost positive. It's a limited series. It looks like it's 12 issues. And it looks like it's going to be $3.99, the price of a normal comic, unless you're getting the cardstock covers, which I don't do. I'm not paying the extra dollar for those. But it looks like it's going to be the Justice League has protected Earth from all manner of foreign and alien invaders over the years. Always keep a vigilant eye to the skies for the next threat. But what if the threat was already walking on Earth, hiding in plain sight, watching, waiting for their moment to strike? So it's in the tradition of Deceased, which I did enjoy that a lot. And one thing I'll say about James Tynion, he is a good horror writer. He's writing, I think it's called The Nice House on the Lake right now. Over at Boom, he's doing Something's Killing the Children. He's done some horror titles that I've really enjoyed, so I think he does do well there. But I think Matthew Rosenberg, depending on who's writing it, could be something I like or something I don't like. So I'm hoping James Tynion is writing the majority of the story here or all of the story here. This partnership, I just don't know how that works. But it seems like it's going to be something fun out of continuity that I can read. Or who knows, this might be another world that I don't know about with the new universe. I really couldn't tell you. But I'm definitely going to be checking this one out, and it looks like it's on sale October 26th, which is just around Halloween. Okay, on to my next pick.
This is Nick with another pick from the DC Connect catalog. This is on page 16. It's DC versus Vampires number 1 of 12, and the tagline here says, "The war for Earth isn't just beginning, it's already here." Wow, another DC series about the battle for Earth, but this one is DC versus Vampire, so it could be interesting. And a strong selling point here is we've got the writing team of James Tynion IV and Matthew Rosenberg, and pencils and inks by Otto Schmidt. Again, another must-buy on my catalog of artists, and this is a $3.99 32-page standard comic series, so benefit there. The solicitation says the Justice League has long protected Earth from all manner of foreign and alien invaders over the years, always keeping a vigilant eye to the skies for the next threat. But what if the threat was already walking the Earth, hiding in plain sight, watching, waiting for their moment to strike? In the tradition of Deceased comes a terrifying new series from the twisted minds of James Tynion IV, Nice House on the Lake, Something's Killing the Children, Matthew Rosenberg, The Joker Presents a Puzzle Box, Four Kids Walked into a Bank, and Hawkeye, and Otto Schmidt, that will tear the Justice League apart in their war with the undead. So, again, it's borrowing heavily on some concepts we've seen, but this time with vampires. This is Nick with another pick from the DC Connect catalog, this from page 17. And I wasn't going to record on this originally, but DC always finds a way to hook me in with something intriguing about a Tom King book. And unfortunately, I can get disappointed pretty easily because I think he doesn't always finish these series very well. They start off with an interesting concept. They're usually high-priced. They're not really worth the extra cost. But I feel like if there was one book that Tom King would be perfectly suited to write, it would be this one. It's The Human Target, written by Tom King, with art by Greg Smallwood. So he's venturing outside his usual stable of favorite artists. They're bringing in a good artist still, but one who hopefully can do a 12-issue miniseries in some reasonable time. And it's a story featuring assassination attempts and a mystery related to government affairs type stuff. So, again, this should be a series which Tom King could tell from beginning to end with a good, coherent storyline. But we'll see. The solicitation says, Christopher Chance has made a living out of being a human target, man hired to disguise himself as his client to invite would-be assassins to attempt his murder. He's had a remarkable career until his latest case protecting Lex Luthor, when things go sideways. An assassination attempt Chance didn't see coming leaves him vulnerable and left trying to solve his own murder, as he has 12 days to discover just who in the DCU hated Luthor enough to want him dead. Human Target is a hard-boiled, gritty story in the vein of classic detective noirs told by best-selling and critically acclaimed creators Tom King and Greg Smallwood. Again, I can't recommend this issue based on the writer or on the price, but on the talent of the artist and the concept, I think I'm hooked at least for the first issue or two. See where this is going, and hopefully there's a nice, coherent 12-issue miniseries which will be wrapped up next October, and we'll all be singing the praises of this series. It goes on sale, though, November 2nd, just as a special note.
My next pick is on page 18 of the DC Connect catalog. It is Aquaman Green Arrow Deep Target number 1. Now, this is a 7-issue miniseries, and I'll admit to having a little hesitancy based on that. But they haven't been doing a Green Arrow comic for a while, and I'm curious. You know, I like the character, so I want to read more about it. I'm curious on that ground. I haven't been following the Aquaman series for a while, since he got amnesia a while back. I'm sure he's gotten over it. But this allows me to kind of get back in with that character a little bit. It's an interesting pairing of these two. I can kind of see why they're doing it. I can see some similarities and stuff. I mean, they're both Justice Leaguers. They know each other, etc. But again, it's not a pairing that is standard with these two. Or of these two, I should say. Normally, Green Arrow would be with, you know, Green Lantern or Hawkman or somebody. Anyways, it should be a lot of fun. There's something about how the timeline has been altered and only these two can fix it. It's like, I don't know that the timeline needs altering again, but if it's going to get fixed, I'm kind of curious about that. So I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully it's pretty good. There is a $3.99 version of it. There's a variant $4.99 cover stock version. I, of course, am not going to spend the extra buck for the card stock, but hopefully this is some fun stuff. I like the characters, and I'd like to enjoy a story with the two characters, so maybe this will be it. Once again, that's Aquaman Green Arrow Deep Target number 1 on page 18 of the DC Connect catalog.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the DC Supplemental, and this time I'm on page 22, where we have Wonder Woman Historia, the Amazons. And it's number 1 of 3, so it's a 3-issue minis. These are Prestige Plus, so I'm assuming that's the magazine size. These 3 volumes are $7.99 each, so $8 a pop. But they are 72 pages long, so you're getting a lot more content for these $8, which is kind of pricey. But the thing that caught my eye more than the story itself is the art. They have some sample pages inside of previews, which I just put a link on the Slack channel to the DC previews so you guys can see it if you don't purchase previews. I mean, it's free online. But it's really amazing art. The first issue, the artist is Phil Jimenez. Or Jimenez, I don't know how you say his name. The second issue is going to be Gene Ha, and the last issue is going to be Nicholas Scott. So three really good artists for this book. I think it should be good. It is a black label, so 17 plus. I don't know what that means, if there's going to be profanity, violence. It doesn't say in here, but it's going to be a more mature title. But it's going to be, it says the wait is over, the entire history of the Amazons can finally be told. I'm actually surprised if it hasn't been told already in the last 80 years, or maybe this is a retcon in history, but this is going to be the history of the Amazons. Like I said, check out the art. It looks amazing, striking. And Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to be the writer on this. I have not been enjoying what she did on the main. I think she was writing the main Wonder Woman title, but I'm hoping this is better. Got my fingers crossed that this will be better. And it's only three issues, so it won't take too long to get over with. If it's not, it'll be a slow death. But on to my next pick.
This is Nick with the final pick from the DC Connect catalog. This is Refrigerator Full of Heads, number one, the return of a popular Joe Hill Presents Hill House Comics / Black Label property that was with the initial release that was Basket Full of Heads, returns this time. But we have a different writer and a different artist, I believe, so hopefully it maintains the same quality we had the first time around. The basic premise here says Hill House Comics is back and heads are going to roll for making readers wait. The new wave of titles begins, so there may be more, with a rancid return trip to Bloody Brody Island. For a year now, the mysterious axe that unleashed pandemonium during the hurricane of 83 has waited at the bottom of the bay, but nothing that powerful stays buried. Brody Island has new visitors, and a new sheriff in town, too. Not to mention a dangerous great white shark spotted in its waters. Uh-oh, shark. And when vacationing couple Calvin Beringer and Arlene Fields find themselves on the wrong side of Brody's unsavory elements, their beachcombing will turn up something a lot sharper than sea glass. Crime novelist Rio Ewers joins forces with artist Tom Fowler to unleash a gonzo gridhouse expansion on the lore of the original Basket Full of Heads. This is going to be $3.99, part one of six, 32 pages, on sale October 19th.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine on page 30 with Action Comics number 1036. The writers are Philip Kennedy Johnson and Sean Lewis. The artists are Daniel Sampier and Sammy Bosri. The regular cover is drawn by Daniel Sampier, which is the one I'll be getting, and the variant cover is drawn by Julian Totino Tedesco. The regular edition is $4.99 for 40 pages, while the variant cardstock cover is $5.99. Scheduled to be on sale October 26th, the War World saga begins. After learning of an enslaved race with mysterious ties to Krypton, Superman and the Authority travel across the galaxy to dethrone the new Mongol and liberate Warworld, introducing new characters and a new corner of the DC Universe. The biggest Superman event since the death and return of Superman begins here. One of the things I'm wondering is this going to be another Death of Superman story? I hope not. But judging just by the solicit, it looks like the creative team has come up with a very interesting plot. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also on page 30 of the DC Comics Connect digital magazine. This time with Batman, The Adventure Continues, Season 2, Number 5 of 7. Writers are Paul Dini and Alan Burnett. Artist is Rick Burchett, whose work I've enjoyed ever since he did the Blackhawk feature way back in Action Comics Weekly. The cover is drawn by Jamal Campbell, and the variant cover is drawn by Junie Ba. The cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages, while the cardstock variant cover is $4.99. It's scheduled to be on sale October 5th. An old face returns to Gotham when former Mayor Emerson Mayfield steps out of retirement, looking to once again rise to power. But Batman isn't thrilled with the mayor's homecoming after his run-ins with him during his early years as a Caped Crusader. Can Batman deduce what Mayfield's plan for Gotham is before it's too late? I'm enjoying this return to the Batman animated series in comic book form, and I loved Rick Burchett's work in the original Batman animated series comic book adaptation in the 90s, and I think he may have also done some work on the Adventures of Superman adaptation of the Superman animated series. So I am looking forward to see Rick Burchett's work on this very interesting sounding story. Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics Connects digital magazine is on page 33 with Icon and Rocket Season 1, number 4 of 6. The writers are Reginald Hudlin and Leon Chills. The artists are Doug Brathwaite and Andrew Curry. And the regular cover is drawn by Torrin Clark, which is the one I'll be getting. And the variant cover is drawn by Doug Brathwaite. The regular edition is $3.99 for 32 pages, while the cardstock variant cover is $4.99. It's scheduled to be on sale October 26th. At this point, it feels like there's nobody on Earth who isn't hunting for Icon and Rocket. And as powerful as they may be, there's always a way to get to someone's friends or family. Does Icon even have the strength to put the forces they have unleashed back in the bottle? And more crucially, does he want to? I was really glad when DC announced that they were bringing back the Milestone universe, and my favorite Milestone characters were Icon and Rocket, so I'm looking forward to this miniseries, and I hope it will become a regular monthly title. So I would hope all of you would at least give this miniseries a try. Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine is on page 35 with Superman 78, number 3 of 6. The writer is Robert Venditti. The artist is Wilfredo Torres. The regular cover is by Amy Reeder, which is the one I'll be getting. The variant cover is drawn by Lee Weeks. And I would love to get that cover because I loved his work on the miniseries that reintroduced the pre-rebirth Lois and Clark when their son Jonathan was born. But I just don't like to pay an extra dollar just for the cover. The regular edition is $3.99 for 32 pages, while the variant cardstock cover is $4.99. It's scheduled to be on sale October 26th. In order to save Metropolis, Superman must surrender to Brainiac or watch his city burn to the ground. After being taken aboard Brainiac's ship, Superman finds a shocking piece of his past that changes his entire future. Meanwhile, Lois Lane gets a cryptic message from a mysterious source claiming to have a way to save the Man of Steel. I'm really looking forward to reading this miniseries, and at least reading in comic book form what a Christopher Reeve Superman movie would have been like versus Brainiac. Note to Warner Brothers, how about putting Brainiac as the next villain in a Superman movie? I would love to see Henry Cavill face off against him. Billy Hogan again. My final pick in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine is also on page 35 with Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 4. The writer is Tom Taylor, and the artist is John Timms, who also does the main cover. The variant cover is drawn by In-Hyuk Lee. The cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages, with the cardstock variant cover is priced at $4.99, and it's scheduled to be on sale October 12th. Kal-El has left, and the weight of the world now rests on his son's shoulders. Powerful forces have been threatened by John Kent's first leaps in his father's boots. It's hard to hurt a Man of Steel, but his loved ones make a much easier target. John's world is about to come crashing down. I'm looking forward to reading about John Kent taking on his father's mantle and beginning to build on the legacy of Superman, but I'm not sure how I feel about the hints that Jonathan might go down a dark path eventually, as hinted by some of the past issues DC has put out recently, but I'm hoping that he will resist the temptation and follow the example that his father has laid down for him.
This is Nick with one more pick from the DC Connect catalog. I just couldn't stay away, I guess. This is from page 40. It's the Wonder Woman, the Silver Age Omnibus, volume number 1. And as I was doing my last pass through over things here, I saw this and I think I actually probably will get it. I've read a lot of these included issues on the DC Universe Infinite app. It collects issues number 98 through 123 of the original Wonder Woman series, beginning in, I think, May of 1958. And it marks the beginning of the Silver Age Wonder Woman, because we get a retelling of Wonder Woman's origin that really pretty much ignores whatever had happened previously. And I can tell you, the stories are bonkers. Literally, issue number 98 has to be one of the most ridiculous, overpacked, just bonker, coincidental type stories that you could ever read. And if you don't buy this book, get the app, read the stories, because they're just fun. But the reason I wanted to highlight it and not pass it by was just the fact that several of these issues have never been reprinted in color before. And being an omnibus edition, you'll get a whole bunch of stories. You know, it's a nice continuous chunk. It's 696 pages, oversized in format, $99, and in fact, just out before Christmas. So again, another get yourself a Christmas gift type present. And these stories will take you into the 60s, featuring the introduction of Wonder Girl, Wonder Tot. Literally between issues 98 and 99, we've got Wonder Woman convincing her mother to disguise all of the Amazons to look like her so she can compete in that contest of champions that ultimately, you know, gets her the title of Wonder Woman. She builds a bridge out of a single penny. She's in outer space, dodging meteors, making magnets of foreign planets. It's really bizarre stuff. And honestly, if you get this at a discount beforehand, if you pre-order it, you know, it brings it a lot more reasonably priced, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed if you're a Wonder Woman fan, and you can tolerate, or if you enjoy, just the goofy premises that these 50s and 60s DC stories took. And who knows, maybe they'll eventually continue us with other stories down the road, but for my money, this is going to be the easiest way to get a printed version of this material from Wonder Woman. This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog. This is from page 124 in the IDW section. It's Star Trek, The Mirror War, number 1, and it's $3.99 out in October from writers David and Scott Tipton, who've done a bunch of work with the Star Trek properties at IDW, and an artist on this is Gavin Smith. The solicitation says, return to the mirror universe of the next generation with this brand new series from writers David and Scott Tipton, where familiar faces and exciting new surprises await around every corner. To conquer the mirror universe, Captain Picard must first seize control of the shipbuilding planet of Fondori. The only problem? Fondori is inside Klingon Cardassian Alliance territory. I called out the first issue for this event, I guess, as they're promising it a while back, and that is still due out in September. So unfortunately, I don't have much else to go on beyond that, but I've enjoyed what the Tipton brothers and IDW have done with this Star Trek Next Generation Mirror Universe sequence of stories. They've had a couple of different mini-series advancing that storyline, and I guess this promises to be more of the same. So if you've been following along, check it out. Again, this will be out in October.
My next pick is on page 124 of the previews catalog. It is Star Trek The Mirror War number 1. Nick already talked about it. There's really not much more for me to add other than I've been enjoying what they've been doing with the Mirror Universe stuff. It's been a little while since the last miniseries that was part of this, but it was fun. I enjoyed it, and I'm sure this will be the same. So if you're into Star Trek, particularly if you're into the Mirror Universe part of Star Trek, I do think this is worth checking out. Once again, that's Star Trek The Mirror War number 1 on page 124 of the previews catalog.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog. This is from page 135 and 136. I've got a 3-for-1 here. Star Wars Adventures Ghosts of Vader's Castle, numbers 3, 4, and 5 of 5 from IDW. This is, again, I highlighted this last month, the first two issues, but this is a, I guess like a bi-weekly series of Halloween-themed Star Wars content. They've done this the last couple years with the Tales from Vader's Castle and Return to Vader's Castle or something along those lines. But again, kind of focusing like a frame story of several of the Star Wars characters trapped outside Vader's Castle and telling each other ghost stories, you know, in familiar settings around the Star Wars universe. The writer, of course, Kaven Scott, continues for these three, and the framing story has art by Francesco Francavilla. The art on the first one is by Robert Hack, second one by Chris Finoglio, and the third one, the last one of the month, will be done entirely by Francesco Francavilla. And basically, we've got a Creature from the Black Lagoon type story in issue 3, where Hud and Skrit are dreaming of the Spirit of the Swamp, a guild monster that terrorizes Dagobah. In issue 4, we've got Lena dreaming of the ghost of the galaxy's most threatening villain. And in the final issue, we've got Lena, Hud, Skrit, and Jackson racing to Mustafar to save Milo and Crater. Will the group be able to fight the ghosts that still haunt the castle? Or will the galaxy forever be bound to suffer from the wrath of the ghosts of Vader's castle? Check them out. Each one is a standard 32-page comic book, $3.99. And if you haven't read the previous ones, go track them down. I think they've got collected editions that come out usually a couple months later, but they're definitely worth it. Just fun, random Star Wars stories told in that Star Wars Adventures style.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick this time is in the IDW section on page 144 with Usagi Yojimbo number 23. The writer, cover, and story artist is Stan Sakai. This issue is part 2 of 3 of the story titled Ransom. Kyoko has been kidnapped and is held for ransom by boss Hasegawa. He wants the ledger of bribes that Kitsune had stolen. Usagi, Yukichi, and Kitsune know they would be walking into a trap, but they find aid from a very unexpected source. Or do they? How far can they trust someone they know will betray them? End shops on October 27th for the cover price of $3.99. I'm looking forward to being introduced to this new character, Yukichi, who is going to be a young samurai who will join Usagi on his journey. And as always, Stan Sakai always crafts a very interesting plot for each issue. And as icing on the cake, we also learn about Japanese culture, history, and folklore. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also on page 144 of the IDW section with Usagi Yojimbo, Dragon Bellow Conspiracy number 5 of 6. The writer and story artist is Stan Sakai, and the cover artist is David Peterson of Mouse Guard. And if you want to read another interesting non-superhero comic book story, then by all means check out David Peterson's Mouse Guard. One of Usagi's most classic and epic adventures reaches its penultimate chapter. As a castle is sieged to prevent a revolt against the shogun, Usagi and friends must make a desperate gambit to prevent the land from descending into war. Not everyone will survive the mighty struggle that ensues. Scheduled to be in shops October 20th for $3.99. I'm glad that IDW is reprinting a lot of the early adventures of Usagi Yojimbo in monthly comic book form, because I get to check out some of the stories that I missed out since I came to the party late as far as reading Usagi Yojimbo. Eventually, I hope to be able to collect the earliest adventures in collected edition form to fill in the holes in my collection of Usagi Yojimbo stories.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog, this time from page 165, I guess, is where the main solicitation is. It's James Bond Himeros, number one, from Dynamite Comics. And there's just an absolutely amazing cover here on page 164, which you have to check out, from Francesco Francavilla. I just always appreciate what he has to do, especially on these big splash page type images. And it says for the solicitation here, $3.99, out October 13th. Writer Rodney Barnes and artist Antonio Fuso. Himeros is the Greek god of sexual desire and one of the Erates, the winged gods of love. When Aphrodite was born from the sea foams, she was greeted by the twin loves Eros and Himeros. But when sexual desire goes too far, it takes the legendary super spy James Bond to bring justice to the most vulnerable among us as he investigates the suspicious death of an accused sex trafficker, one whose ties run deep and deadly. Writer Rodney Barnes makes his Dynamite 007 debut in this special series, featuring art by returning Bond superstar artist Antonio Fuso, and two amazing covers, Francesco Francavilla and Jackson Butchgeist. It also points out here, created by the British journalist and novelist Ian Fleming in 1952, the character appeared in a series of 12 novels and two short story collections written by Fleming and a number of continuation novels and spin-off works after Fleming's death in 1964. There have been 27 films in total produced between 1962 and 2021. And Rodney Barnes is an American screenwriter and producer. Barnes has written and produced The Boondocks, My Wife and Kids, Everybody Hates Chris, Those Who Can't, Marvel's Runaways, American Gods, Wu-Tang, An American Saga, and is currently an executive producer slash writer on HBO's untitled Los Angeles Lakers drama. So, if any of that sounds interesting to you, most importantly, James Bond, definitely pick this up. Every series that Dynamite has done featuring James Bond has been really great, and this one looks to be more of the same. There's an interview with the writer if you want to follow along and see what his take is on everything, but the premise here seems to be very hard-hitting and sort of geared to what villains today would be doing in the Bond universe with the sex trafficking and all of that. So I definitely think this will be worth your money. Check it out. Probably, you know, going to be a mini-series somewhere on the order of 5 to 10 issues or so. But who knows? It'll probably be very good, and I'll definitely be picking it up as long as it goes.
Hey, this is James, and this time I'm in the Marvel Supplemental, and I'm actually looking on page 4, where we have a new number 1 for Venom number 1. I didn't think I'd be calling this out when I, you know, came across that Venom. I like him. Donnie Cates' run was fantastic. If you haven't read that, check it out. But the reason why I read this, I'm like, who's going to follow up Donnie Cates? That's going to be really hard to do. And it's Al Ewing. Al Ewing sometimes is hit or miss, but I think he found his stride with the Immortal Hulk, and he took kind of a horror take aspect on that. He is co-writing the book with Ram V, who has been doing some interesting things with Swamp Thing. People like his Catwoman, I'm not reading that. And the art is Brian Hitch, which means we'll have new artists after probably 3 or 4 issues, because Brian Hitch cannot do a monthly book. But for now, Brian Hitch, who's a good, good artist. But that creative team, I'm like, okay, that should be good. And it says an epic new era for the Sinister symbiote starts here. And the thing that I liked the status quo change that Donnie Cates brought to Venom. With number 200, he changed everything. And I think it was really a different tact. I don't think these guys are going to completely erase what Donnie Cates did. I think they're going to add on to it, add on to the lore, and take it down this new path. So I'm really just interested to see what they do with it. I have to see what happens after Donnie Cates. He got me reinvigorated with Venom. So I definitely would say this is one to keep on your radar. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back, and I'm in the Marvel previews again. And the next thing that caught my eye, and this is something I'm so happy with, it is on page 6 and 7, where we have Amazing Spider-Man number 75. It is not because 75 is some kind of anniversary issue. It is because it is the first issue that we have where we do not have Nick Spencer as the writer. You know, nothing wrong with Nick Spencer, but man, his Amazing Spider-Man just really wasn't resonating with me. So this is called Amazing Spider-Man Beyond, and I'm saying beyond Nick Spencer. And we have Zeb Wells as the writer. Now, Zeb has been doing a tremendous job with the Conan series after Jason Aaron came off, so I've been happy with that. Patrick Gleason is the artist. I love Patrick Gleason as, you know, an artist on Spider-Man. Zeb Wells, he can do decent work. And I don't know how long this is going to last with Zeb Wells. He tends to stay on books for 12 issues, 24 issues, and then they kind of move him off. And it's nothing, not a knock on Zeb Wells. I'm just curious if they're going to let him stay on here until issue number 100. This was typically in the past, has been for years and years, Amazing Spider-Man, a flagship title for Marvel. And Zeb Wells, I don't know if that's a name that's going to resonate with the readership. But it's going to resonate with me because it's not Nick Spencer. So on to my next pick.
What's up, guys? This is Patrick, and I am in the Marvel section. I'm looking at page 6 and 7. We're looking at the Amazing Spider-Man. Zeb Wells is the new writer. Awesome. This is going to be a big book because this is his first time on this book, taking over from Nick Spencer, I believe. Amazing Spider-Man is back to thrice monthly because this story is pure jet fuel. Ben Reilly has returned to New York City and has fully taken back the mantle of Spider-Man. But what does this mean for Peter Parker? The greatest team of web writers has come together with the most epic arachnid artists ever assembled to bring you a spider story that will shake up Spider-Man's 59th year in ways you cannot predict. 56 pages. $5.99. I am definitely going for Webhead Patrick Gleason variant. I love the first ones. I got the poster. I got the t-shirt. So we'll be getting that one. There's a bunch of covers on this. And if you scroll over, you can kind of see where the story goes, which is unfortunate because now there's going to be 3 books a month. Definitely looks awesome. Definitely want to pick it up. Zeb Wells, I don't remember anything I read that he did, but why not? Like, there's a new era in Spider-Man. Spider-Man looks beat up on the next page. So, Amazing Spider-Man, number 75, $5.99.
This is James back with another pick. And this time, I'm once again in the Marvel Supplemental. I'm on page 12, where we have Immortal Hulk number 50. And the reason why I'm calling out issue number 50, it's the last time I'll be able to shout out the Immortal Hulk, because this is the final issue in a definitive run of the Hulk. Notice I said a definitive run, not the definitive run. This has been a fantastic title with Al Ewing. Joe Bennett has been the artist the entire time. Other than issue 25, which they really went off the rails for me, every issue has been pretty fantastic. And I just think it's been excellent, the horror take. There's so many callbacks to the Peter David run of the Hulk, and I'm seeing them now because with the book club, we meet currently every Wednesday. We're looking at moving to a Tuesday or Thursday for the book club. By the way, join the Slack channel and join the book club. We'd love to chat with you guys. We do Zoom meetings. But we have a few people who are Hulk fans, and this has been a fun read. And just seeing all the callbacks to the stuff that Peter David did with a modern take. And I don't want to say Peter David's run was not modern. It's just there's a lot of references to 80s stuff and 90s stuff that was relevant then. And not as relevant today, just some of the jokes. If you weren't of a certain age and the jokes we see in the Peter David run, you're not going to get them, but I get them. But this has been a good run. It says, The Green Door, Samuel Stearns, Jackie McGee, and Bruce Banner. It's all been leading here. This is the last issue of the Immortal Hulk. Now, one thing I want to warn you about this issue, this is a $10 issue, $9.99. You heard that correctly, $9.99, but it is 96 pages. I believe it will be, and just because I'm looking at the creators here, it's going to be 96 pages of The Immortal Hulk. It is not going to be some kind of celebration issue with backup stories by creator X, Y, and Z doing their 8-page, you know, monstrosity is what I call it. Typically with the anthologies, some of them are good. Some of them just, I feel like I'm wasting my money. So this one should be a complete story, which means I will like it. So definitely check this one out. Thank you so much, Al Ewing and Joe Bennett, for your work here. It's been fantastic. And on to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick is in the Marvel Comics insert on page 59 with Fantastic Four, number 37. The writer is Dan Slott, with art by Nico Leon. Cover A is drawn by Terry Dodson, and cover B is a Joe Jusko Marvel Masterpieces variant. There are monsters on Yancey Street. The fallout from the FF's 60th anniversary stories continues. Maybe a visit from a certain friendly neighborhood Spider-Man might help with that. Meanwhile, it's time for Ben and Alicia to take their kids trick-or-treating for the very first time, which might not be such a good idea, especially when one of the Fantastic Four's greatest enemies has returned, rated T14, and is scheduled to be in shops October 20th for $3.99. One of the things I enjoy about superhero comic book stories is when they take a break from the superhero supervillain fisticuffs and highlight some of the supporting characters of a series. And with Ben and Alicia and their children, it looks like an issue that I'm going to enjoy. Thank you, John, for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book industry, and I look forward to listening to everyone else's picks. I hope everyone continues to stay safe and healthy out there as we all deal with this surge in COVID-19 cases. If you haven't already, I hope you will get vaccinated. And if you are like me, please continue to take precautions as we try to get back to normal life. And let's not forget to take care of each other out there.
Brawlinator again, and I'm on page 81 of the Marvel Previews. It's the Invaders Omnibus. The Invaders were created by Roy Thomas and artist Sal Buscema way back in Avengers number 71, and they are somewhat based on the All-Winter Squad, which was an actual historic Golden Age comic book team from 1946. The Invaders team first appeared in flashback stories that were set during World War II, and they comprised of existing characters from Timely Comics, the predecessor of Marvel Comics. The original team was Captain America, along with his sidekick Bucky Barnes, the original android Human Torch, Torch's sidekick Toro, and Namor the Submariner. These were the heroes opposing the forces of Nazism. And when the superheroes saved the life of British Prime Minister Winston Churchill from Masterman, the thankful Churchill suggested they should become a team known as the Invaders. Now Marvel is collecting nearly everything related to that original Invaders in a brand new 1,152-page omnibus. It collects giant-size Invaders 1 and 2, the original 41 issues from their 1975 run, along with an annual. So that's 44 issues right there. Marvel Premiere 29 and 30, Avengers 71, Invaders from 1993, issues 1 through 4, and from the original volume of What If, it's issue 4, Fantastic Four Annual 11, Marvel 2-in-1 Annual number 1, Marvel 2-in-1 number 20, and material from Captain America Comics number 22. That is nearly 56 hard-to-find comics in one hardcover omnibus. I'm in. I like the Invaders. I always have. I don't know when I first got turned on to the Invaders, but I do like them a lot. It was probably back in Marvel 2-in-1 number 20. It's a fun team. The stories are generally one and done. There's a little bit of continuity in some of them, but it's just a fun run, and I recommend you pick it up, especially if you're into the omnibus. This has never been collected in omnibus format before. It's on page 81 of the Marvel Previews, The Invaders. Brawlinator again. I'm on page 242 of this month's previews. This looks fun. He's a TSA agent. He's a super party animal, and his name is Buddy McGill, and he's on the trail of a ruthless terrorist and will not stop until justice is served. With a case of suds and some brand new duds, he will give you something you can feel. And Buddy isn't just any TSA agent. Nope. Buddy McGill is a purebred bull terrier dog. Now, this Buddy McGill concept is straight from the brilliant and bizarre brain of my buddy, Mike Barron, who created this character for Badger based on Spuds McKenzie named Buddy McBride. Now, Mike wanted to do a humor strip about the James Bond of dogs, But since First Comics owns Buddy McBride, Mike changed the name of this canine protagonist to Buddy McGill. And just like his last funny book, Florida Man, Buddy's purpose is just to make you laugh. The creative team is planning this as a 4-issue limited series. Check out TSA agent Buddy McGill on page 242 of this month's previews. Brawlinator again. I'm on page 258 of this month's previews in America Mythology. And you can tell the comic industry is ready for Halloween with all these Halloween-themed titles. And I've got another one. My next pick here is on page 258. It's Fright Night. Tom Holland's classic vampire tale returns with a series that picks up right after the events of the 1985 movie. Based on Holland's original novel, it introduces Charlie Brewster, Amy Peterson, Evil Ed, Peter Vincent, and of course the undead monster, Jerry Dandridge, to horror fans. It's written by James Kuhurek, who also wrote Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, with interior art by Neil Vokes and Cyrus Misarcia. I'm not sure I said that right. The story is fully authorized by Tom Holland himself, so this is an official sequel. And this starts up about a year since Jerry Dandridge has died again. And life is still crazy for the impromptu vampire killers, but something ancient and evil has clawed up from the ground and found them, and they're going to discover that once you look into the undead abyss, the monsters hiding there look back, and they are about to relive the worst night of their lives. It's Fright Night number 1, Dead by Dawn, from American Mythology, over on page 258 of this month's previews. Check it out.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the previous catalog, and this time I'm in the back half. I'm on page 284, where Artists, Writers, and Artisans is featuring a new number one called Out, and it is written by Rob Williams and illustrated by Will Conrad. And Out, what the heck is this about? It says, in the waning days of World War II, with the Allies advancing, a desperate Nazi officer unearths an ancient force of evil that he hopes will turn the tide of battle, a vampire. To test the power of his secret weapon, he unleashes the monster on an unsuspecting group of Allied prisoners of war. It's up to Nakona, a Comanche language expert, to communicate with the vampire to find out what it really wants. So, sounds pretty cool. I like World War II stuff, but here we have vampires in World War II, and I found it interesting that they used a Comanche language expert because I was pretty sure that they used Navajo Indians who don't have really a written language and only Navajos can speak it. So I don't know. Maybe they had Comanche translators in World War II, but I was almost positive it was Navajo Indians. But so they're releasing it, but he's going to try and communicate with the vampire, find out what he wants. Sounds like it could be kind of cool. Most of these series that come out from AWA, they are typically 5-issue series, and yeah, on the cover it says 1 of 5. So you won't be in for a long time, and it looks like it's going to be fun. AWA is one of the better back half publishers. It used to be Aftershock. Aftershock's kind of waned with me with the creative talent they brought in and the stories they're writing. And then they upped the prices on their number one. So AWA has been my favorite publisher of probably 2020, and it may make it again for 2021 because most everything that they publish, I love. So on to, I think I might have another pick. I'm going to have to flip through previews. This could be my last one, but regardless, having fun. And if this is my last clip, I'm looking forward to all of yours. And thank you, John, for everything you do in hosting this.
And my last pick this month is another one that I didn't even know about until I saw it in previews. It is on page 285. It is ETER number 1 from AWA. This is a medical procedural in space with aliens, and it's a double-sized one-shot for $3.99, so 48 pages. We get 2 full stories, and it just looks interesting. I really don't know quite what to make of this, other than I've seen some other, you know, superhero ER stories and, you know, things of that sort. It's a little sci-fi. Arguably, it's a little superhero-y because they have aliens and stuff too or whatever, but it's a medical mystery. It's definitely a genre mashup, But AWA has been doing some good stuff, and I'm curious about this. And doing it as a one-shot for, you know, $3.99, 48 pages, I'm willing to give that a try. And we'll see if they kick this out into an ongoing series after this, or a mini-series, or who knows, or a series of one-shots, who knows. But it looked interesting as I was flipping through. I definitely think the AWA section is worth flipping through, for me, more so than some of the other publishers or whatnot in the back half. But once again, that is ETER number 1 on page 285 of the previews catalog. Check it out.
Hi, my name is Michael, and I go by the name Super Flash Adam 1980 on the forum. The book I wanted to bring to everyone's attention is called Blue Baron number 1 from Binge Comics. And about 2 months ago, people were talking about the book called The Heroes Union, and Blue Baron is actually a character from one of the characters in The Heroes Union. So if you already got The Heroes Union, you might be interested in getting the Blue Baron as well. Number 1. I read about 3 pages of previews of the comic, and it seems pretty solid. So if this also might be like a Superman type of character, because he's, you know, super strong, and I'm not sure if he flies or not, but if the Heroes Union was something you got already, maybe you want to take a look at this book as well. All right, thanks. Bye.
One week hits my heart on fire.
I'm on page 291 in this month's previews, looking at Pop Star Assassin. Now, this looks wild. It's the adventures of a coked-out Elvis impersonator who gets wrapped up in a government conspiracy involving dead celebrity lookalikes, robot assassins, and more, all in an attempt to find the identity of his father's killer. It's basically sex, drugs, rockin' robots, 70s style, in the all-out action adventure called Pop Star Assassin. So the year is 1977. Elvis, the king of rock and roll, is dead. The world is mourning, but a mysterious briefcase turns up in one impersonator's dressing room, and he suddenly finds himself wedged between a mob boss out to avenge the death of his only son and a government conspiracy with far-reaching world-ending ramifications, all in an attempt to discover the true identity of his father's killers. This sounds wild, crazy, clever, fun. It's going to be a 6-issue limited series. It was originally funded on Kickstarter. It looks fantastic from the interior art, which is tremendous, and the variant covers blew me away. Check this out. It's issue number 1, Pop Star Assassin, over on page 291 of this month's previews catalog.
Okay, this is James, and this time it's really my last pick. I thought there was something else back here that I had highlighted. It's on page 334. I'm back in the Humanoids section. Humanoids has been known to do a lot of European comic translations. I've shouted out this stuff before, but now we have a new format, so I want to shout it out again. Okay, on page 334, it is Jodorowsky Library Edition. Okay, Jodorowsky, he is a writer. Alejandro Jodorowsky that did the sci-fi stuff. The art was by Mobius and some other fantastic European artists. So the art is impeccable. The story is sci-fi. It's really good. And this stuff is just amazing. And this is going to be the first, this library edition, and a set of volumes that are collecting everything by Jodorowsky. And it's going to look nice. So these are going to be big books that you can put on your bookshelf. And I like this material so much, I'm definitely picking up these hardcovers. 352 pages, $39.99. I don't think that's horrible. And it, like I said, it's going to be a nice big book. And this one's going to be on Megalex, Annabelle 5, and selected stories, some of the small stories. And real big thing down on here, they said, includes previously unseen bonus materials and extras, including rare pages from Jodorowsky's never-reprinted comics that debuted in 1966. Yeah, some of the stuff goes back a ways, but this is top shelf stuff. I can't recommend it enough. I've liked all of his stuff that he's done. I've read it. I already have it. I'm going to double dip and pick up the libraries from my bookshelf that does not exist because it'll be stacked up on my floor. But I will have a bookshelf one day. So if you have not read the stuff, this is a great way to pick it up and get in with his library editions. And that's my last pick. Now it's over to you, John, and looking forward to everyone else's picks. Take care. Bye.
Brawlinator here, and I'm on page 385 in Source Point Press's section of previews looking at a collected edition of Cult of Dracula by Rich Davis. Now, Cult of Dracula reimagines the classic Dracula myth within the confines of a Manson family-inspired cult. So it's witchy, it's weird, it's helter-skelter with a hippie cult dedicated to an ancient blood goddess. Now, you may know Bram Stoker's genre-defining classic by heart, but Rich Davis originally put this out on Second Sight Publishing. It's a six-issue series that explores vampires and the mythologies all surrounding them from many different cultures from all around the world and throughout human history. The artwork looks great. It's from Henry Martinez. Colors by Trevor Richardson. The art looks great. So do all the variant covers. I'm sure they'll be included in this collected edition. If you are into vampire comics, this is one you do not want to miss, and it's very affordable. If you miss the single issues, now is the time to grab this collected edition. It's Cult of Dracula, the trade paperback, on page 385 in this month's previews. It's Brawlinator again. I'm going to get outside my comfort zone a little bit. After a lot of suggestions over the years, I've never really quite gotten into manga. I have enjoyed several anime films, but the last manga that I purchased was probably either the Bat manga that DC collected in three volumes a few years ago. I've gotten Lost Stars, which is a Star Wars manga title, or three volumes of it. Viz Media just had a Luke Skywalker, but that was actually sent to me as a review copy, so I didn't actually purchase it. And come to think of it, I'm not even sure I've even read that yet. I did read Lost Stars and Bat Manga. I enjoyed it, but I thought I would try something that I know nothing about. Batman and Star Wars are properties that I'm very familiar with. Most of us are. But this time, I wanted to try something that sounded intriguing or interesting, and I was completely unfamiliar with, and so I've decided to go with this on page 457 with Kururu Kill Me by Kano Yashirio. And this is found on page, like I said, 457. It's described as a dark and wacky action comedy where one man falls head over heels for a hired killer, and he is so in love with her that he orders a hit on himself just to spend more time with her. And from the moment he laid eyes on her, he fell in love with this femme fatale and is going to do whatever it takes to spend more time with her, even if that means risking his own life. This is a zany comedy. Sounds funny. Is he going to lose his head over love? Who knows? I'm going to sample this. And if you're interested in knowing what my thoughts are on it, just reach out to me on the Slack channel. I'll be sure and give you my feedback. Again, it's Kururu Kill Me, page 457, way back in the back half of this month's previews. That's it for me. Thanks again to John and everyone that helps make the Comic Book Page podcast and the Slack channel possible. It's a lot of fun. Get on board. Get in there. It's a great community, and I encourage others to join us.
I hope everybody found something in the various catalogs this month that was of interest to them. I found a fair amount of stuff. I'm trying to be a bit more selective on what I'm getting and stuff, because some of what I'm buying just hasn't been working for me as well as I'd like, which is why I'm trying a few things like the ETER and some stuff like that. I want to thank everybody who contributed, so thank you Billy, Chris, Drew, and Kyle from Comics for Fun and Profit, James, Michael, Nick, and Patrick. Now, this is a shorter episode than we've had for a while, and part of it was, you know, well, like Billy and James send in a little less than they normally do, but still well over, you know, 15 minutes of clips and stuff, so I'm real happy with that, and I appreciate that. But this is why I want to get some new voices on here every month, because sometimes people just get a little busy and can't send in either as much as they'd like or send in clips at all and stuff. So these episodes are as long or short as you guys make them. So please send in clips as often as you can. And if you can't do it one month, not a problem, but if you can, definitely appreciate it. I also want to recommend, if you're going to send in clips, do take the time after you've recorded to play them back and listen to them. I had a few clips from one person come in this time that were a little garbled for some unknown reason, and never had any problems from the clips with this person before, really, so don't know what happened there. But I'll be honest, I've had times when I've recorded where Audacity just doesn't quite work, and I play them back, and it's like, yeah, I didn't pick up what I put down. So, you know, technology sometimes has problems and stuff. So again, worth the extra minute or two for you guys to do that if you can. But don't let that hold up sending in clips. So I have not put together my order this time around. I've found a couple of things that looked interesting, a few things I gotta go check of do I want to keep getting these titles or not. But again, to me, that's the power of pre-orders and these catalogs, is I can make as informed a decision as possible ahead of time versus, you know, just getting what I'm getting based on, well, I've always gotten this title and such. So, like I said, once again, I hope you guys found this episode useful and it sparked your interest in a couple of items, or maybe educated you on an item and you realized it's not for you and you can spend the money on something that is. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.